So good to praise God together. We're going to do that now as we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The title of the message this morning is Count Your Blessings. Count Your Blessings. You've heard that before. Someone has told you that before, right? You've told your kids that before. Your parents have told you that before. We've all heard that. Well, we're going to talk about that some this morning. The series we're in is Glorious Grace, looking at Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, at God's grace. And anyways, quick story. On November 11th in 2010, there was an article in a British magazine called The Telegraph. And it tells an amazing story. A brother and sister, they found an elaborately decorated vase while they were clearing out their parents' home. And stood 16 inches tall. It was decorated with a fish on it. And the vase, you know, is thought to come from the King Long, the fourth emperor of the Qing dynasty in China from the 1740s. And they knew it was worth something. They thought this might be worth something. So they took it to an auction. And the hammer fell after 30 minutes of furious bidding between six men in the room and three telephone bidders. And it eventually sold to a Chinese man, a Beijing-based agent. The hammer fell at $43 million. The auction expert, her name was Helen Porter, she said, and I quote, "In the 18th century, this vase would have resided, no doubt, in the Chinese royal palace and was certainly fired in the imperial kilns. It is a piece of exquisite beauty and supreme example of the skill of the ceramicist and decorator." All right. So they had no idea what they had. In fact, they were hopeful that they had something, but they didn't dare believe it was very valuable. They just wanted to find out. When the auction hammer fell at that great amount of money, the sister, the brother and sister who found the vase, she said, and I quote, "I had to go out of the room just to catch a breath of fresh air." So amazing. Didn't even know how blessed and rich they were all that time. Another story, because some people like that brother and sister are rich and they don't know it. Others are rich and they refuse to live like it. A woman named Hetty Green, anyone heard of her before? The Witch of Wall Street was her nickname. The first woman to have a huge impact on Wall Street. She was known for extreme frugality during an era of great American prosperity in the 1800s. She never turned on her heat. She never used hot water. Her son, Ned, she named her son Ned. Her son, Ned, had gangrene, and she only wanted to check him in at the charity hospital. They recognized her and they kicked her out and she stormed off. She treated it herself, had it amputated, and Ned lived with a cork leg. She died. She was worth $200 million. She was the richest woman alive at the time. So there are some people who are so blessed and they don't know it, the first story. There are others who are so blessed and they do know it, but they refuse to really live like it and walk in it. And those two stories are a great setup for Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul is talking about our spiritual blessings in Christ, that we are wealthy beyond our wildest imagination in Christ. That's what chapter 1 is about, especially verses 3 through 14. And this morning, we're just going to look at the introduction, verse 3. I know, it's one verse. But I want to set it up really well. In fact, in the Greek, chapter 1, verse 3 through 14 is one sentence. But it's a really long and complicated sentence with a lot of content. This morning, we're going to look at verse 3. Count your blessings. the blessings of the Christian life. So let me just read the verse to you and we'll pray together. And then we'll go through the source, the sphere, and the substance of the blessings of the Christian life. All right? Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let's pray together. Bow with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that we have this time together this morning to gather, to fellowship with one another, to sing the gospel, to sing truth. For some of us to sit here and hear our brothers and sisters in Christ sing truth that we need to hear. God, we just thank you for this moment, for these moments, for times like these, to gather, to worship you. And as we open your word, as we look at these truths in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, Lord, we pray that you would not just reveal truth to us, but that you would really apply it deeply in a transforming way in our hearts. God, I know I don't just speak for myself. We want to experience the glorious grace of Jesus Christ more in our lives. And we want to share that experience with those around us, with our city, with our community, with our world. And so be with us in this time, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see what we are blind to see without your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Count your blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 3. So yeah, I mean, like, the blessings of the Christian life. 3 points this morning. The source of our blessings, the sphere, like where it is, and the substance of our blessings. I mean, notice first this word blessed, you know, is in this verse. How many times do you see it there in verse 3? How many times do you see a form of the word bless in verse 3? Three times. Three times it's there. Blessed, that's the adjective usage. Blessed. Then there is blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, this is the verb form, who has blessed, to confer blessing. And then it says, what has he blessed us with? It's like he keeps using this word. It's like it should be the title of the sermon. I don't know. What do you think? It's like with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's like blessed. Hashtag blessed, right? Like, it's the theme. It's perfect, right? For us in the South, too. Like, oh, bless you. You know? It's perfect for us to really redeem this word that we treat so casually, this word to bless. It's the word for eulogy, to eulogize, to bless. And so he is all about the word blessed. So let's look first at point one, the source of the blessings of the Christian life. And the source for Paul and for us and for verse 3 is God the Father. God the Father. Look at the verse. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, the God and Father. So here's Paul. He is putting God the Father at the head of this avalanche of praise that he is pouring out of his heart to the Ephesians and for us. You know, I think it's important that we see here, you know, it is proper and good to bless God for the material blessings that he gives to us. And that's usually what we mean when we say, count your blessings. But here, it's even more important here. And Paul is showing us that the most valuable blessings are our spiritual blessings in Christ. We're going to unpack that so that's not just word games or just talking about stuff, but something. Look at Paul here. He's He's the lead worshiper, not the worship leader. This is the adjective form of blessed. He's not saying bless God right now. Bless God. He's not saying that. He's saying blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's just leading the way in worship. He's pouring out praise. He's talking about and to the source of the blessings of the Christian life, which is God the Father. Now, one thing that's so unique about Christianity is the idea of the Trinity, right? The triune God. It's so unique about Christianity, and one of the reasons that you know it's true is because man would never come up with it. Why would any guy ever come up with the Trinity or a girl? It's too complicated. Why would we come up with that? We wouldn't. It must be revealed by God about himself. Paul's understanding of God as three distinct persons, yet one God, is clear in his letters. It's not something that they invented in the third century at the Council of Nicaea. No, that's garbage. It's right here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Paul's understanding of the nature and character of God that we see just in this verse. Three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all equal in deity, yet distinct from one another. This picture helps me. You'll see a slide. It's just showing, right? You can't come up with a perfect analogy like, you know, ice, water, and vapor. Like, these analogies completely fail to help us understand the Trinity, because our finite minds cannot fully understand the infinite God. But this diagram helps me just remember the basics of the Trinity, that the Son, the Spirit, and the Father are all fully God. Yet they are distinct. They are distinct. The Father is not the Spirit. The Son is not the Father in a new mode. It's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. One God, three distinct persons. This amazing God that we serve, that we love, who has saved us. Think about the three distinct roles that the Bible sort of shares with us of how God saves us. The Father plans salvation. The Son accomplishes salvation. The Spirit applies salvation to our lives. So the source of the blessings of the Christian life, our first point, is God the Father. Our second point, the sphere of the blessings of the Christian life, God the Son. The sphere, the place where it's at, the place where you get it, the sphere of the blessings of the Christian life, God the Son. Here's the deal. We are all born. Your neighbor, your kids, you, everyone. We are all born in Adam. We are all human beings. We are all born related to a common human ancestor of Adam and Eve. And as such, we inherit Adam's guilt and Adam's sinful and fallen nature. That's what the Bible tells us. We from Adam get curse, not blessing. But the Bible says there is good news for those who are born in Adam, and that's you and that's me. There's good news. We can be, what does the Bible say? Born again into the new Adam, into Christ, God the Son. The sphere of the blessings of the Christian life is God the Son. That's what this verse is saying and what Paul is saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, where? In Christ. In Christ. In the sphere of Massachusetts, there are a lot of taxes. That's why it's called Taxachusetts. All right? But if you go into the sphere of New Hampshire, there are no taxes. In the sphere of Christ, not Adam, we are given every spiritual blessing. And so we have to be sure that we are in Christ. We sang that in the song this morning, dressed in His righteousness, in Christ. It's a huge theme in the New Testament, this prepositional phrase, in, and the object of the preposition, Christ. It's a huge theme. Paul says it 80 plus times in his letters, just in Ephesians a few times, chapter 1, verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Chapter 2, verse 5, God has made us alive together in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6, God has raised us up in Him. Chapter 2, verse 6, again, He has seated us in Him in the heavenly places. Chapter 3, verse 12, we have boldness and access with confidence. It says, what does it say? In Him, in Christ. You've perhaps heard in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ. The sphere of salvation is not in the world, is not in Adam and Eve. Is not in going to church and being a good person. It's not in, you know, being loving and accepting and just being a moral human being. No. The sphere of salvation, the sphere of our blessings as Christians is in Christ. That's why the Bible talks about God as a strong tower and a refuge. We run into Him. We want to be in Christ. The sphere of our blessing. God the Son. So now third, the substance of the blessings of the Christian life. The substance. God the Holy Spirit. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every, what kind? Spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What makes a blessing a spiritual blessing? Like closing in prayer after you give someone a gift? I mean, I don't know. Like, what makes it a spiritual blessing? One scholar writing about verse 3 here says that he thinks it's just contrasting the Old Testament, where God's blessings were more material, with the New Testament, where they're more spiritual. Maybe. I'll show you a definition on a slide from a guy who wrote a book about Ephesians, and here's what he said. Here's how he defined spiritual blessings. Things of the Spirit of God, supernatural, as having its source in God. And so a spiritual blessing is different from a material blessing. It's different. It's different in its nature. It's fundamentally a different thing. And that is what Paul is talking about this morning. Paul talks a lot about the spirit versus the flesh. He'll later say in Ephesians that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. And so spirit versus flesh, this is a spiritual blessing. So every blessing we know is from God. Every blessing is from God. And this is true either when it's just God indirectly, you know, blessing us as He blesses everyone. Some are poor, some are rich, some, you know, experience all kinds of common grace. Or it's true, and this is what we're talking about this morning, profoundly true, when God is the direct source of our blessings through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about. I'll give you an example. A skill versus a spiritual gift. A skill is juggling. All right? That's a skill I do not possess. Another skill is programming. Working on a computer or something, right? A spiritual gift is what? How about spiritual leadership? How about showing mercy as God has poured His mercy into your life and you're showing mercy to others? about teaching God's truth. That's a spiritual gift. Or another example of a blessing versus a spiritual blessing, right? A blessing would be a great idea. Like the telephone, right? Like the guy that invented the telephone. What's his name? Okay, maybe. You should look that up later. The telephone. Great idea. What about a prompting, though, from the Holy Spirit? Like when Philip, in the book of Acts, the Spirit told him to go up next to a chariot and listen to what that person is reading, and they were reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and he was able to then insert the gospel and lead this Ethiopian to Christ, who would then go to Africa and share Christ with others. Like, what about the difference between that spiritual prompting and a great idea? It's different. Both are great ideas, but one is a spiritual blessing in Christ. But rather than just try to give you these examples, let me just give you the examples that Paul actually gives us, because verse 3 is the beginning of a sentence that goes to verse 14. And he outlines and enumerates all of these spiritual blessings in Christ right here. And over the next few weeks, we're going to go through them together. And I think it's really beneficial to go slowly. For example, election. Not the presidential election, okay? Like, chosen before time by God. Okay, we're going to slow down and look at that next week and really look at what God's word does have to say about that. But let me just read to you verses 3 through 14 so you can see these spiritual blessings in Christ that Paul unpacks here. Blessed, verse 3, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his, here's the series title, glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The substance of our blessings of the Christian life is God, the Holy Spirit, and the gifts and blessings that he bestows to us as believers. And you see them in here. You see election, you see adoption, you see redemption, you see our inheritance in Christ. We're going to go through those in the weeks ahead. And so as we close, what's the point? What's the point of verse 3? What's the point of count your blessings? It's this, right? It's making sure that you know how blessed you are in Christ. Are you following? Yeah. I was looking, there's this website, the Global Rich List. And you can put your income in there and it'll show you how rich you are. And it always, if you live in America, it always shows you that you're like in the top 1% of the richest people in the whole world based on the rest of the world, like the video we saw today, right? And it, the purpose is to just help you realize like you're so rich. And we're not using that today. I'm mentioning it, but we're not looking at that. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about our spiritual blessings in Christ. We're so much richer than even that. That's the point. And so the point is that we need to count our blessings. We need to look at the right balance. You know, whenever you do a balance inquiry and you're seeing like, how am I doing? What's my balance? What's my net worth? You need to make sure you select the right accounts. We as Christians have to do that. Like we started out this morning, we talked about the vase. We talked about Hetty Green, the Witch of Wall Street. Some of us don't even know how blessed we are. And I think as we study these passages in the next few weeks, we're going to learn more about that. Getting a glimpse of the glorious grace of God and how blessed we are. Some of us do know, but we refuse to walk in the gratitude, the praise, and the joy that is ours in Christ because of how blessed we are. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has made us blessed beyond our wildest dreams. The gospel is our pen. The gospel of Jesus Christ, turning from sin and placing faith in Jesus Christ for you, dying on the cross for your sins, giving you his righteousness that you might know God forever, that you might experience these spiritual blessings. That's the pen. That's the access. Placing your faith in Christ. Let me show you a couple of verses as we close. Philippians 3, another place where Paul says these same things so clearly. Look at this. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So again, even the richest of us is materially poor when you compare your blessings to your spiritual blessings in Christ. Jesus plus nothing truly equals everything, friends. Some of us don't know that. Some of us know it, but we're not walking in it. And some of us maybe have never even received it. Here's a verse about that. Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. That's a story that Jesus told about what we're talking about. That there's a guy, it's a parable, but there's a guy who's walking through a field that he doesn't own and he trips. He trips over something that's protruding from the ground and he's like, oh, what's that? And he starts digging around it and he realizes, oh my goodness, it's a treasure. It's an unbelievable treasure. And he runs from that place. Well, first he buries it. He runs from that place, sells everything that he has. He's like, nothing in my life would compare at all to me somehow possessing that treasure. He goes, he sells everything he has. It says, what does he say? Begrudgingly? No, it says in his joy, he sells everything he has. Get out of here, everything else. Takes the money, buys the field. And possess that treasure. That is what it is like to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You, when you know what you should know, inherit these amazing blessings in Christ, incalculable blessings in Christ. And so we're going to be unfolding that in the weeks ahead. And so let me close in prayer as the worship team makes their way, and if you'll bow with me, we'll pray together.